Dr. Seward's diary, 1st of October. It was towards noon when I was awakened by the professor walking into my room. He was more jolly and cheerful than usual, and it's quite evident that last night's work has helped to take some of the brooding weight off his mind. After going over the adventure of the night, he suddenly said, "Your patient interests me much. May it be that with you I visit him this morning? Or if that you are too occupied, I can go alone, if it may be. It is a new experience to me to find a lunatic who talk philosophy and reason so sound." I had some work to do which pressed, so I told him that if he would go alone I would be glad, as then I should not have to keep him waiting. So I called an attendant and gave him the necessary instructions. Before the professor left the room, I cautioned him against getting any false impression from my patient. "But," he answered, "I want him to talk of himself and of his delusion as to consuming live things. He said to Madame Mina, as I see in your diary of yesterday, that he had once such a belief. Why do you smile, friend John?" "Excuse me," I said, "but the answer is here." I laid my hand on the typewritten matter. When our sane and learned lunatic made that very statement of how he used to consume life, his mouth was actually nauseous with the flies and spiders which he'd eaten just before Mrs. Harker entered the room. Van Helsing smiled in turn. "Good," he said. "Your memory is true, friend John. I should have remembered. And yet it is this very obliquity of thought and memory which makes mental disease such a fascinating study. Perhaps I may gain more knowledge out of the folly of this madman than I shall from the teaching of the most wise. Who knows?" I went on with my work, and before long was through that in hand. It seemed that the time had been very short indeed, but there was Van Helsing back in the study. "Do I interrupt?" he asked politely as he stood in the door. "Not at all," I answered. "Come in, my work is finished and I'm free. I can go with you now, if you like." "It is needless. I've seen him." "Well?" "I fear that he does not appraise me at much. Our interview was short. When I entered his room, he was sitting on a stool in the center, with his elbows on his knees, and his face was the picture of sullen discontent. I spoke to him as cheerfully as I could, and with such a measure of respect as I could assume. He made no reply whatever. 'Don't you know me?' I asked. His answer was not reassuring. 'I know you well enough. You are the old fool Van Helsing. I wish you would take yourself and your idiotic brain theories somewhere else. Damn all thick-headed Dutchmen!' Not a word more would he say, but sat in his implacable sullenness as indifferent to me as though I had not been in the room at all.